Teaching of God's Word. We're continuing in the book of Matthew, that's Matthew, chapter 14, and beginning in verse 13. Matthew 14:13. And today's message is entitled, Yeshua Was Filled with Compassion. Wow. What are we filled with sometimes? Because of life's circumstances. But Yeshua, even though he's facing very, very difficult time in his life, he's filled with one of the attributes of Abba, Father God. He's filled with compassion. Because what has happened just prior to this portion of Scripture? His cousin has laid down his life for the kingdom of God. He stood by the word of God that he preached and taught. He warned King Herod, Antipas, and Herodias, and Salome, and all the others who were walking in unrepentant sin, that they should change their ways, and it cost him his life. And so naturally, a cousin would be mourning the death of another cousin. And so we find Yeshua doing that at this time. And yet he wants to get away from it all, because he's also a human being. And this is one thing in Bible college that they teach you very, very early. Yeshua is both God and man, both creator and a human being. And there are times when we just see Yeshua in the scripture as being God, creator only. But God wants us to see him as he was sent to us, with human flesh, not our carnal nature, but he knew every temptation, every pain that we will ever experience and beyond, because he is both man and God in one being. And so many times when we read the good news, we just kind of skirt over what's really going on. It's like, hey, I know the end of the story. I've read this portion so many times before. I'm very, very familiar. But there are times when we have to be silent and allow the scripture to open up our eyes into even a greater revelation than what we've received years ago. Because I tell you this, God desires to reveal his truth of his word to us in a greater way. And you know what the foundation of that is? Is Yeshua. There's nothing new underneath the sun. Satan has to go, and what he does is he regurgitates falsehood and false teachings from generation to generation. It's like it's a brand new thing. But with God's word, it is holy and it's true, and we can depend upon it. We can depend upon it with our lives here on earth and also our eternal lives yet to come. So, Father, as we continue to be in your presence today, we ask that the Spirit of the living God would cause the Word of God to come alive to our hearts, soul, minds, and spirits. As we spend time in silence before you, hearing your Word, may the Spirit of the living God apply it to our hearts and produce the fruits and the growth that he desires in all of us. May you stretch us. May you open up our eyes that we may see our Messiah Yeshua in even a greater way, because we desire to be like him. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Verse 13. On hearing this, Yeshua left in a boat to be by himself in the wilderness. But the people learned of it, and they followed him from the towns and by the land. So when he came ashore, he saw a huge crowd, and he was filled with compassion for them. And he healed those of them who were sick. As evening approached, the Talmudim, that is the disciples, came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is getting very late. Send the crowds away so that they can go and buy food for themselves in the villages." But Yeshua replied, "They don't need to go away. Give them something to eat yourselves." "All we have with us," they said, "is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." After instructing the crowds to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he made the berukah, the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam bohorei b'nei mezonot. Blessed art you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, creator of all kinds of food. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to his Talmudim, his disciples, who gave them to the crowds. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they took up 12 baskets full of pieces left over. Those eating numbered about 5,000 men, plus women and children. Some may assume now that Yeshua's immediate withdrawal to a lonely place was because he feared what Herod Antipas was about to do to him. Would he now imprison him? But this is not the case. Yeshua is God, and he never did anything based on fear. Isn't that a good word? We don't have to operate out of fear, just as Yeshua did. Even when Yeshua was crucified, the scriptures make it clear that Yeshua laid down his own life and that no one could take it from him without his consent, without his giving his free will for him to be crucified on our behalf. That's from Yohanan John chapter 10, 17 through 18. And this is what he said. This is why Abba Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. There was a plan, there was a purpose for him doing this. He goes on to say, no one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down of my own free will. Fast forward quickly with me. We're at the Mount of Olives, we're with Yeshua. And he's praying and he's interceding before the Father. And what is his intercession? Father, if there be any other way. You see, Yeshua had to deal with his humanity's free will. And for some of us, we may say, wait a second, that's blasphemy. How can you say that? Why else did he say to the Father, if there be another way? He identified with us in our humanity because he knew there were going to be times when each and every one of us were going to be asked to do something that was beyond us. And that we would be in that situation asking the Father, is there yet another way? But then becoming and aligning our free will with Abba Father God's. And some of us may say, well, that's very, very simple. I've done that before. But I tell you this, every time and circumstance when we make a choice of whether to walk in the Father's will or to go our own way, there is that simple choice before us, and it is deep and it is profound. And it will leave a lasting legacy of our relationship with the Lord at that present time and in the future. But it's beautiful to know this, that even though when we go our own way and our own do things according to our own will, he's there to reconcile us to himself. We're not simply a castaway. But we should not bet our eternal destiny upon that. Because that shows that our hearts are being hardened against the will and the plan of Abba, Father God. As we've heard in our songs that we sang earlier this morning, they were songs of love, of grace and mercy that Abba, Father wants to bestow upon us. He says, I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. And this is what my Abba Father has commanded me to do. What are we as believers in Messiah doing? We're putting our old carnal nature, our old way of doing things to death, that we may rise anew in the life in Messiah. Well, that sounds so simple. It is, but is yet profound. Because as you work that out, as Brother Tim shared today, with fear and trembling, work out your Yeshua, your Jesus, your salvation, your relationship with him. That's what it means. It's not just a simple term. It's a relationship with a living being who has faced every temptation that you and I will ever face in our lives. And he's overcome every temptation. And so can we likewise if we'll simply follow his pattern and his example. And that's what Yeshua is doing in this portion of scripture here. He sent out the 12, and they were coming back from ministering their very, very first time. And they were to come and give a report. And here, he's exhausted. He's going through the process of grieving, and he simply wants to get away. But now he shows them, as they are exhausted, and they just want to get away with him, spend time in prayer and relaxation away from ministering. Because ministering can be very, very taxing upon one's body. But yet he sets the example. Instead of him performing a miracle immediately, he says to them this, you go and you give them something to eat. God wants us to do the impossible. But for us to realize that when he asks us to do the impossible, he's not asking us to do it, but to simply trust him in providing the provision that we may accomplish the impossible, that he may receive all the glory, honor, and praise, and that our trust and our relationship with him will grow and develop. That's why he lays out these challenges for us. Yeshua did not fear Herod Antipas. It is recorded that Yeshua did not back away from several situations in order that he would further not antagonize his enemies. There's times to stand boldly and speak the word in grace, mercy, and love, never in judgment, and then simply back away. Because those who receive the message have to have time to receive it, to meditate upon it, to digest it in their hearts, souls, and spirits, and to allow the Spirit of the living God to begin to woo their hearts, to fulfill God's plan for their lives. This had happened when Yeshua had returned to Nazareth. The first time, those people became so angry that they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Luke 30. But he walked right through the middle of the crowd and he went on his way. What was their heart's desire? To throw him off the cliff. But yet in the midst of that, he was able to pass through them by the power of God. Yeshua was not afraid of them, or he would not have returned there a second time, as recorded in Matthew 13. Other examples are Yohanan, John 8:59, 10:39, where Yeshua leaves irritated people to reduce their antagonism against him. Because I tell you this, when we first hear the good news, we don't readily receive it immediately. Why? Because it cuts us to our heart. And it inflicts a wound upon us. Because we get full revelation that we are sinners without any hope. And our carnal nature rebels against it immediately. Well, that's your opinion. Every man and woman of God and child of God have had to stand in the gap and proclaim the truth in grace and love and mercy and then simply back away to allow the Spirit of living God to accomplish all that he desires to do. You may be saying, why do you repeat that twice? Because the world that we're facing is not any different from the world that Yeshua walked in. There's evil in this world. We are to follow his pattern for sharing our faith with others. His pattern was always successful. Because I know this, that when we proclaim the good news, that those people, when they get alone, the word of God is speaking to their hearts, souls, and spirits. Continuing, there's much that we can learn from Yeshua. We do not need to fear anything, because Abba, Father God, is sovereign, and nothing can come against us that he does not allow. Isn't that beautiful to know? That even in the midst of being persecuted for righteousness' sake, we can know the presence of the living God to fill our mouths with the very words that he desires for us to say. And to have the right heart and mindset and spirit. His promises is that he will not allow anything to come against us that is too much for us, but he will provide a means through it or an escape from it that we may be strengthened in our trust. I know many Bibles say faith, and faith is like a $50 word out there, is it not? But the word trust comes from a portion of a child simply trusting that when the father throws them up in the air, he's not going to turn his back and walk away, but he'll reach out and catch them. The simplicity of trust. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you beyond what people normally experience. And Abba, Father God, can be trusted not to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. On the contrary, along with the temptation, he will also provide the way out, so that you will be able to endure." So we'll be able to stand, and we'll be able to continue to trust him. Yaakov, James 1, 2 through 5 says, "Regard it all joy." Notice the word joy is there. It does not say regarding all happiness. Why? Because happiness is a fleeting emotion. Okay? It's like this. You go and you buy a book that you desire to buy for a long time. You patiently saved your pennies so you can make that purchase, all right? And then once you receive the book, you know, the newness, the happiness of the book is there. But what happens after a period of time? It gets added to all the other books on the shelf. That's what happiness is. That's why James, Yaakov, Yeshua's younger brother said, "Regard it all joy." What is that chained to? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Never in Scripture does it say the happiness of Adonai is your strength, but the joy. Because you know what the joy is? It's we're so filled with it, we cannot contain it. It bubbles outside of us. And you know what? It becomes contagious. And when the world sees us going through persecution and suffering, they see the joy that's in our hearts and souls, even in the midst when we're crying tears and suffering. Now that sounds like an oxymoronic statement, does it not? But I've been with people in the process of dying where they've been in extreme pain. Tears crying of pain from their eyes. Suffering. The morphine is not doing its job. I've been times with people where I felt completely hopeless in that situation. You know what the Lord asked me to do? To begin to hold that person's hand and just begin to start praising the Lord. And that person would look at me like, "Are you out of your mind? Don't you know I'm suffering right now?" Absolutely. But what I began to see in that person's eyes was this: they were being filled with joy. And they began to praise the Lord. Although tears of suffering were flowing from their eyes. And with the through the process of being filled with joy, they went into the presence of the Lord. And when they stopped breathing, the tears of suffering stopped. But the joy of the Lord was still present in their body. God's allowed me to experience that from time to time with other individuals. So I know this, that when I go into times of suffering, and there are tears of suffering, in the midst of that, I can be walking in joy. Regard it all joy, my brothers, when you and my sisters face all various kinds of temptations. Wait a second. Deliver us from temptation, Lord. Here it says, no, walk in joy. For you know that the testing of your trust or faith produces perseverance. How many of us want to mature in the ways of God? How many of us want to, and we're very jealous that we were not born during the time of the original 12. We feel ripped off, right? But I tell you this, the presence of Yeshua in our lives is just as manifested as it was for them. Yes, we're not able to hold him. We're not able to touch him or to hear his literal voice. I know some believers who have had the Lord appear to them and spoken to them from time to time. But I haven't experienced this. But I know this, that we as his Talmudim today, having the same Ruach, because Yeshua declared these words. He said, blessed are those who have not seen, and yet still they believe. Continuing, but let perseverance do its complete work. There have been times when I've faced temptation and trials and persecution where I say, God, please make it stop. But as I matured as a believer, I began to pray this, Lord, allow the persecution, the temptation, and the tribulation to continue till you refine me as gold, that you may be able to see your likeness and character being developed before your eyes. That is a mark of a true mature believer. And I tell you this, I've got a long way to go. There are many trials and temptations and tribulation I'll be facing in my life. But I know this, from the past tribulation, temptations that I've overcome by the grace of God, so that is a promise of trust for me even today. Continuing, but let perseverance do its complete work so that you may be complete and whole, lacking nothing. Did you hear that? Lacking nothing spiritually, financially, socially, materially, lacking nothing. Because I know this, that everything that God allows me to have, it's for his divine purpose. It's not for me, it's for his glory. And that's when he takes things away from me. I don't have to grasp them and say, God, what are you doing? This is mine. I'm his, and everything that I have is his. And that's what Yeshua is showing his Talmudim here. In the midst of deep grief, he would normally be doing what? Shiva. Times of mourning, 7 days of mourning for his cousin. But it was Abba Father God's divine will that he would meet the needs of these people. Continuing. Also, difficult things will enter into our lives, but we are secure in Abba Father God's hands that we have no need to fear. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, what? That's right. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, Franklin, pretty good president. Some people say not. But to know this, that when God speaks, we have nothing to fear. He's the one who makes his presence known to us. Next, We share our trust with others, and we proclaim of Abba, Father, God's word, both his punishment for the sin and his means of salvation in and through Yeshua. And when we do this, we must be very, very sensitive. When I was a brand new believer in Messiah, I had my good news guns loaded, and anyone who came past me, I unloaded upon them. And that was wrong. God showed me over a period of time that I am to go and approach people, as the scripture says, as snatching people from the fires of eternal separation from Abba, Father God. In grace and mercy, and know this, that if not by the grace and mercy and loving kindness of God, there go I. We have to have the right attitude when we go and share our faith with others. It's great to know a lot of scripture, but it's much more important to ask the Father to have his heart, to have his insight, to have his grace and mercy and discernment how to proclaim the good news. Continuing, we're not to be fearful of irritating people with the truth. Why? Because every time when I open up the Bible, I'm irritated with the truth. You know why? Because there's a mirror that's before me and I see myself as I truly am. And it's an irritant to me. I would be lying to you if I was not telling you that as being truth in my own life. So continuing. But we don't go beyond provoking others past when the point is being made. Then we become personal in it. Remember this, we are wielding the sword of the Spirit. How many of us pray for when we go or someone else undergoes surgery? God has ordained us to be surgeons spiritually. And that sword of the Spirit needs to be guided by the Spirit of the living God, by the hands of Yeshua. The right application at the right time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a right time to withdraw from conflict and to minister to others. Yeshua is our example of this. The other reason for Yeshua getting away was that he was simply tired. There is recorded many times in the scripture where Yeshua was going off to a secluded place after being very busy in ministering to others. Mark 1:35 speaks of it. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Yeshua got up and left and went away to a lonely spot and stayed there praying. Luke 6:12. It was around that time that Yeshua went out to the hill country to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to Abba, Father God. I say this to every believer that is here and those who will be listening later on the podcast. How much time are you allotting in your schedule to spend time intimately in the presence of the Father and seeking his will? This is one area where we need all to improve on. And some of you may be thinking, well, when is this message ever going to end? This is a two-part message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This next paragraph will be ending the message. Mark 6 records that there have been many people coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. Yeshua simply tried and wants to go to a secluded place where he can be refreshed. As the people see what Yeshua is doing, they start following him on the shore. The trip is only like 5 to 6 miles away. They travel by foot. As they go, they would have attracted the attention of many other of those people in the towns and villages as they pass through. Have you ever been in the Twin Cities and all of a sudden a crowd forms? People just start walking and all of a sudden other people are joining that? Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going to see where they're going. Continuing, some of the people would join them. The area Yeshua landed was remote from any city. Even the closest village was some distance away. Yeshua's destination was a mountain, which was more isolated and where he desired privacy. But we find that some of those who were following him along the shore got there before the boat landed. How frustrating. You're trying to get away from the crowd, but they're following you. They won't give you a moment's peace. And remember this, Yeshua, being both God and man, experienced those temptations. And they were waiting for Yeshua to come ashore. Verse 13 tells us, so when he came ashore, he saw the huge crowd. And he had to deal with his humanity at that point. Don't they understand that my cousin just passed away? I've been exhausted through ministry. Can't you just give me a break today? But the scripture says, and he was filled with compassion for them. You know, I've read that portion of scripture many, many times and thought, oh, that's just like a light switch. But through this study and preparing for this message, Yeshua said this to me. Just as he walked before the Father, both in his Godhead and humanity, he allowed his humanity to be seen so that we would know this, that he had to lay aside his humanity so that he could receive what the Father had for him. And that was to be filled with compassion. I give you a very, very quick example, and we'll end on this today. Moshe, when he was asked to go and speak to the rock, what did he do that third time? He struck it. And why? Was he filled with compassion? No. He allowed his carnal nature to get the best of him. You may be saying, well, he made a mistake. But what was the legacy of his mistake? That's right. The Lord took him upon that mountain and said, now look, this is where you're not going to enter in. Why? Because you sinned against me in the presence of the people. But if we fast forward the Mount of Transfiguration, who do we see? Eliyahu and Moshe standing with Yeshua. Where? On the Mount of Transfiguration within the Promised Land. The God of redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is the ending of part one. And I say to you, Shabbat Shalom.